Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, Attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the Black Diamond Mothership in the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan baby. We're trolls below the bridge the day after St. Patty's Day.
That's right.
Craig Russell, my co-host, 10 days a week on the morning hustle.
Sometimes 11.
How you doing, Craig Russell?
I'm good, man. Good. Yeah. Did you have a good St. Patrick's Day?
I had a great St. Patty's Day. You know, I'm 3% Irish.
I did not know that.
I did. I did that ancestry DNA search. It came up literally 3% Irish. And
97% Italian.
You got it. And my mother's great grandmother, grandparents were from Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Is that cool?
That is cool.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year, you know, with all the parades and everything.
Oh, and I never knew that. And so St. Patty's Day to me has been a great day to celebrate St. Patty's Day.
Drinking lots of green beer and something like that and everything and doing it responsibly.
Responsibly.
That's right.
What did you do yesterday?
I did very little. I actually went to the parade in Clare. I had a good time there.
With your kids?
That. Yeah, that's right. Enjoyed that. And
say hi to the kids.
Hi, kids.
I, on the other hand...
They're sleeping right now. They're not listening to this.
I didn't do anything. You know what I did yesterday?
What'd you do?
I did something complete opposite of what you think I did.
You probably did absolutely nothing.
I took my German Shepherd dogs
and
I went snowshoeing at one of the state parks in the great state of Superior.
I was going to say, they must still have snow because there are a lot of places that are using the snow.
I was above the bridge in the great state of Superior.
God, that's right. I wonder if they're ever going to make that the 51st state.
Probably not.
They tried.
Yeah, they tried.
And they want to.
They tried to succeed.
And I think there'd be people who want to.
Speaking of dogs, I want to give a big shout out to the canine unit, the Saginaw Chippewa Tribal Police.
Okay.
Out of Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Right.
They do a great job out there. And I happen to be at Cops and Donuts. Love Cops. The Mount Pleasant location.
So the Central Precinct.
Central Precinct. If you're traveling, you know, through mid-Michigan and you're already south of Clare, you can stop off at the Cops and Donuts located right here, you know, well, right in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
That's right.
Right off Mission. I go there all the time. They got great coffee. Mm-hmm. I mean, great everything. I happen to walk in and the canine unit officers were training that morning.
Okay.
And I know them. All right. And they invited me over because I know them. We just started talking about because I have German Shepherds. And,
sure.
But they do a great job. And I just want to give a big shout out to all the men and women, part of the tribal police and specifically the canine unit and Jimmy Post, good friend of mine, Jimmy Post.
Now, did they have the dogs in the restaurant with them? They can't have them in there?
No, they did not.
Okay.
No, they
did. Did they take at least out to the truck? Did they take some donuts out to them?
You know, I can't disclose any of that information. I like to have the trust of law enforcement.
I understand.
And I was just drinking coffee. Can you say coffee?
Coffee. What are you, from Boston? You have a little bit Irish in you.
How you doing?
That Irish crowd in Boston.
Hey, how you doing? No, it's not Boston.
Now you're New York. Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it. Hey, what a huge show.
Uh-huh.
Coming up in the show.
Yes.
Stay tuned, folks. One of my best friends, literally.
Okay.
attorney Steve Lato.
Why do I know that name?
He's been on the show before.
Okay.
Steve is originally from the UP. There's a lot of Latos above the bridge.
All right.
Steve is one of the top consumer lawyers in the country.
Oh, cool.
He wrote the Lemon Law Bible. It's a book, the Lemon Law Bible.
About the lemon laws.
Lemon laws. Yeah. We're going to be talking about what happens when you purchase a car. What is a lemon? I get these calls all the time. Steve is also good friends with Jay Leno.
Oh, okay.
He's been to his garage.
Ah, Jay Leno.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah. Steve is about to embark on a journey in a canoe all along the coastline of Michigan and the Upper Peninsula and back down.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to talk to Steve about that. He's written some other books. He's published.
Okay.
Has his own podcast, radio show. We're going to be talking to Steve.
All right. That's cool.
But before we do so, I've got a complaint.
Let me check. I got to check the calendar here. Yep. It is a day of the week.
I can't help it. I have a complaint.
You got to complain.
Yeah. It's a complaint I think you will appreciate.
Okay.
Yeah, you ever hear men joking if they have daughters, it's going to be difficult naming their daughters because when they were younger, they dated so many women and you can't name your daughter after someone you dated and had a bad relationship. So that limits some of us to almost the entire alphabet. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Hey, old school.
All right.
Old school player in the house. Class 83 Berkeley High. So.
All right.
I mean, somebody wanted to buy me a present.
All right.
And you know what they wanted to buy me?
They wanted to buy you an Alexa.
Exactly.
Okay.
Forget about it.
No?
No. An ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
I can't be walking around all day asking Alexa for this, for that, the other. I mean, first of all, beautiful name for whoever's named Alexis, Alexa, Alexandria. Not knocking the name per se. I had a relationship when I was in high school with someone named
Alexa.
Similar.
Okay.
And somebody in my family said, hey, I just bought an Alexa. We're going to get you one. Yeah, we think you would benefit from it. And I said, can you program it to a different name?
No.
Exactly. So give me the Alexa.
Well, you'd have to get one of them that has a different name. There's other ones. I think the Google one has a, or is Google Alexa?
That is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a great product. I'm not knocking a product. I just can't.
Yeah, but one of the other ones has a different name.
It's like music brings back memories.
Siri.
Yeah, Siri.
Yeah,
I can go with Siri.
Yeah.
But Alexa, I just can't. It's a great product. I can't be in my head. I don't want those memories. And by the way, we open the show again with Big Fella.
I know.
Great Irish tune.
Great that. Well, it makes perfect sense for St. Patrick's Day weekend and everything.
I originally heard that in the Sons of Anarchy.
Can I tell you, I've got a comment about your complaint and then something about Alexa. What do you want to hear first?
Whatever you want.
First place, I had the same kind of situation. I hate Melissa McCarthy. Do you know who Melissa McCarthy is, the actress?
Yeah, exactly.
Can't stand her because I dated a girl who reminded me of her. And then every time I see her on like a TV show or something, I have to turn it. I can't stand seeing her in a movie because it makes me think of that girl. And that girl was not a good relationship. We're still friends, but it was a weird relationship. But here's another cool thing. You know, if you have one of those Alexas, you can say, Alexa, play WUPS, and it'll just pop on WUPS.
Yeah, it's a great device. And by the way, I'm always tuned into WUPS or any of the Black Diamond Group stations.
Exactly.
Rock 105, 95.5. All the stations.
I would imagine you could do the other stations as well. You could probably say, hey, Alexa, play Cartman. Cartman. And Cartman would pop on the Alexa. But I know for a fact you can do it with WUPS. Of course, that's, you know, we're based out of Michigan. And you, of course, can podcast this all across the country and everything. But if you're listening on the radio, the Alexa, I wonder if you could do that with a podcast. I wonder if you could say, play the Todd L. Levitt podcast. And Alexa would be able to pop it up.
Well, let's have the listener try that and give it a shot.
I agree.
Just don't tell me that. I'm just saying. Hey, by the way, big shout out.
Okay.
To two good buddies of mine.
All right.
Big Hair.
All right.
Always a Big Hair shout out.
Sure.
And Mike Burnside.
Now, who's Mike Burnside?
I call him Burnsy.
Oh, I think I've heard that.
You know who Burnsy is?
Heard that before.
Yeah. So Burnsy, Big Hair, and yours truly were shredding the gnar last weekend at Shush Mountain.
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah. I mean, the snow was great. The runs were great. Burnsy is Mike Burnside, whose family started Burnside RV in Houlton Lake.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, his father started, you get this, with like six RVs. Literally.
Wow. And turned into that big empire.
And now it's Camping World.
Yeah, okay.
But I call him Burnsy.
Sure.
He's got Greeny over there. Tyson, Melissa, he's got some great people over at the Houlton Lake Camping World.
Yeah, we do
great
a lot
sponsor
of, stuff.
Of the show.
Yeah, do a lot of stuff with
So Burnsy, Big Hair, and myself were getting off the chairlift.
Okay.
And we were going up and down all day, up and down.
Sure.
And we're three big guys.
Yeah.
And we're all snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, so getting off the lift, we're sort of packed and tight. And when we got off the lift, this one time, it was so synchronized as if we were in the Olympics. These ladies who were off the lift ahead of us commented on how smooth and they gave us a 10 for getting off the chairlift together. I was on one side. Burnsy was in the middle. Big Hair on one side. It was perfect.
You know, that was the thrill of Big Hair's weekend.
It was.
Totally the thrill.
Yeah. And I'm sure he'd agree with me on that.
Oh, I do. Yes, I do. I do remember that comment.
Big Hair on the show, everybody. Hello, yeah. Big Hair.
Yeah, Big Hair's on the show.
What's going on, Big Hair?
Love having Big Hair on the show.
You in that Prius right now, Big Hair?
I am in the Prius at this point in time. Since I'm going against the wind, I'm only getting 43.8 miles a gallon.
I thought you were getting like 80. Todd was saying you're getting like 180.
No, he brags miles. Like he. We went up when we were at Shush Mountain.
Okay.
And we're on the chairlift. Burnsy, myself, and Big Hair. He's sitting there bragging. He gets 120 miles to the gallon. It's like, come on, don't pull my leg on that one. By the way, you're very, very smooth. Burnsy and Big Hair, very smooth treading on the boards.
Really?
Yeah.
How about you?
Ask Big Hair.
Big Hair, was he smooth on shredding on the gnar there?
Yes, he was. He was awesome. He held up with us, you know, us two senior citizens. Yes, Todd L. Lovett could hang.
He can hang. Well, that's good to know. Oh, man.
Well, what'd you do for St. Paddy's Day, Big Hair?
Green beer.
Green beer.
Green beer, Big Hair, green beer.
That what you put in that Prius to make it go? Green beer?
Well, sometimes I wish I could. It might be cheaper.
That's true.
But even with the gas prices that we have this day and age, I can't complain.
And Big Hair, it's always good having you on the show. We have a huge show coming up in the next three segments. Attorney Steve Lato, you know Steve. He's coming on the show, fellow shredder. Steve's an outdoor enthusiast and a huge, huge consumer lawyer. So we have a lot of questions for Steve Lato. Have a great day. Say hi to the significant other, and I'll shout at you later.
I'll do that. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Go Prius.
Go Prius. Hey, we have to go to break.
Yes, we do. We do have to get to break. Coming up is Steve Lato.
Steve Lato.
Todd L. Lovett Law Show.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Lovett Law Show. Coming back strong once again with Big Fella, one of my favorite songs and groups from the Sons of Anarchy soundtrack.
And they're also from your heritage. They're Irish.
I'm 3% Irish.
And 97% Italian.
Yeah. Hey, I want to welcome to the show. Let's waste no time.
Yep.
Attorney Steve Lato. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yeah, I haven't had you on the show in quite some time. But for those that do not know you, Steve, can you give the listeners a little bit of background?
I'm an attorney that specializes in lemon law, which I've been doing almost exclusively now for 26 years. So if you bought a defective car, I'm the guy you call.
Yeah, and but aside from that, you and I, you're one of my best friends. We've been friends going way back to when we both started practicing law. We started mountain biking together. Steve's the one that got me into biking.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a number of brothers. They're all from the UP. They do some amazing outdoor, you know, recreational activities, and
sure.
Steve really got me into biking, and I love Steve, and plus he's just a great friend. But Steve, you do more than just consumer law. You're friends with Jay Leno. You're an author. Give us the rundown. Give us the bio.
Well, I've written about a dozen books involving everything from, I wrote a book called The Lemon Law Bible, to I've written a bunch of Michigan history books and some car books. So I wrote a book about the history of the Chrysler Turbine Car Project. I wrote a book about Preston Tucker, the guy who tried to start a car company after World War II.
Right.
I wrote a book about Douglas Houghton, the guy who, you know, they named everything after, Houghton County, Houghton Lake, all that stuff.
Yep.
I wrote a book about the Italian Hall disaster in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where someone yelled fire in a crowded theater and 73 people died. So I've written a lot of books, and as you mentioned, I do mountain bike quite a bit. I've actually run 15 marathons in my life.
Wow!
And I like to tell people that right now the mountain bike I ride today costs like twice as much as the first car I owned.
I'm with you on that. I have a Salsa carbon fiber Spearfish. But and also, you're a fellow podcaster and radio show guy. You've had a radio show and podcast long before I have. So tell us a little bit about the podcast, the radio show. Where can people find you?
You know, before I went to law school, I was a disc jockey. I spun records in Flint, Lansing, a couple other cities. And then when I got back from law school, I got into talk radio. And I hosted talk shows in Detroit, Flint, and a couple other places. And lately, I wasn't on the radio, and I thought, you know, I miss it. I miss talking into a microphone. So I started doing a podcast, and it's called Leto's Law, which is the name that the talk show I used to have in Flint. Leto's Law, Lehtoslaw. And so if you go onto YouTube and run Steve Leto, you'll find the podcast or the videos of it, or you can find it on iTunes and places like that. But right now I've got a weekly audience of between, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 listens a week maybe. I get comments from all around the state, all around the country. I even get emails from Eastern Europe from people who've got, you know, weird Russian-built cars, and they've got legal questions, which I can't possibly answer, but it's fun to talk to people all over about the car problems.
But you're also on a show in Australia.
I do a regular feature on a show in Australia. I used to do call-in talks, a thing here in Flint. I live near Flint now, and so yeah, I've done tons of radio. In fact, I've been on CNN. I've been on the BBC. I've been quoted by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. My resume, I don't even believe it, but I taught at University of Detroit for 10 years too.
Law school.
So yeah, it all starts piling up, and makes that resume look more impressive, you know.
And what you probably find out is that no matter where you go, people buy lemon cars and need advice on how to handle that.
Well, and, you know, here's the thing. You know, the biggest purchase the average American makes is their house.
Right.
The second biggest is a car. But most people don't buy a new house every year or two. They buy one house and it's either there for their entire life, maybe 10, 15 years. But people buy cars, you know, and they go through, you know, I'm right now I counted them, I think, on my 15th car of my adult life, you know. And so, you know, people really need to understand what their rights are when they buy a car, new car, used car. All this stuff is different. I get phone calls all day long from people who are clearly confused by Michigan law because they don't think about it until it's too late.
What are the rights? I mean, I always hear that, you know, and I don't know lemon law or consumer law at all. I always defer to you. But you hear if you purchase a car, you have, what, 72 hours to return it? Is that true? 3 days? Does that even exist?
No, it's not. It does not exist. It's one of the biggest wives' tales.
Exactly.
And all around the country, people believe they've got 3 days to cancel a contract for any reason, and you don't.
It's a contract.
And yeah, I tell people, here's the most shocking thing I'll tell anybody, and people won't believe this. If you buy a used car as is from a dealership, and you sign the as is documents, as you're walking out to the car, it can explode and burst into flames and burn to the ground. And you can't do anything about it because the moment you sign the documents, it's yours. And so there's no guarantee the car is safe. There's no guarantee the car is drivable. There's no guarantee the car is worth anything. The car could be a 4,000-pound paperweight. And people say, well, really? And I say, yes. They say, well, how do I prevent that? They say, well, get the car inspected. But the number of people I meet who go car shopping by themselves, who don't know anything about cars, and they'll spend $20,000 on a used car that's got like a cracked engine block. And they find that out later when they have the car inspected.
So here's the question.
Get it inspected before you buy it.
Here's the question. So somebody goes to a dealership, because dealership, you know, have used car lots. They go to some of those by-the-road used car lots. And listen, there's a lot of great used car lot people out there. I'm not knocking used car lots. Some of my friends go to auctions and sell cars, and they do a great job at making sure that they're in good working condition. But if an individual goes to a used car lot and they're purchasing the car, is there any obligation on behalf of the seller to disclose any of the defects?
Well, here's the thing. Not really, because more often than not, they have the buyer sign something that says, I'm not relying on anything said to me by the seller. And so, you know, a lot of dealerships go to auctions, they buy cars, they wash them, they wax them, they sell them. They don't know what's wrong with the car. They're simply going off of the book value of the car and how much money they can make. And you're right, the vast majority of used car sellers are fine. It's the bad ones that give them all a bad name. But the bad ones can make so much money by ripping people off that it's scary.
So there's no recourse.
Almost no recourse, yeah. So people say, well, what about the lemon law? The lemon law only covers brand new cars and trucks in Michigan. So if you buy a brand new car or a brand new truck and it's in the shop 3, 4, 5 times in the first year you own it, yeah, absolutely, there's going to be a lot I can do for you. But if it's a used car, it's a whole different ballgame.
And, well, most times, obviously, if you buy a new car, it's got a warranty. And most new cars these days have really pretty good warranties. So that should cover you to some kind of extent.
Yeah, but I always hear Steve, and we're talking with attorney Steve Leto, a big-time consumer lawyer. He wrote the Lemon Law Bible. He's also friends with Jay Leno. We're going to talk about that later in the show. And he's also about to paddle around the entire state of Michigan, upper and lower. But, Steve, here's the question. Like Craig said, you purchase a warranty. I've heard horror stories where people take the vehicle back and say, well, it wasn't covered. This wasn't covered by warranty. We're talking about new cars.
Yeah. The bulk of the cases I get with Lemons, it's not that the item's not covered. It's just that the dealership can't fix it. Modern cars nowadays, you pop one in a modern car and you don't know what you're looking at anymore. Back in the 70s and 80s, when you and I started driving cars, you pop the hood and work on it yourself. Nowadays, they've got onboard, computer control modules, infotainment centers, and like thousands of miles of wiring and cables. You can't work on the car yourself, and no one understands it. And believe it or not, a lot of dealerships will actually throw their hands up and go, we can't fix this thing either. So most of the cases I handle are people who've got a vehicle, it's got a problem, they take it to the dealership, and the dealership tries to fix it and gives it back to them, and it's not fixed. And it can be anything as simple as the car stalls or it won't start, or it's driving on the road and it starts making weird noises and stuff. And what's often happening is there's two or three computer modules on board the car that are starting to like argue with each other. And, the car company could fix it by replacing a ton of parts, but they hate to do that because it's so expensive. So they're always trying to do the cheapest fixes first, and a lot of times they miss stuff or they can't fix it.
Well, Steve, let's say I buy a TV from Walmart and I buy the 2-year protection plan, and in 2 months the motherboard goes out on it. I take the TV back to them. They give me a new TV. Why can't car dealers do that? If they can't figure out how to fix it, why can't they just say, look, we're just going to give you a new car, because this one obviously is a lemon.
They don't want to do that because of the fact that the vehicle costs so much money. And the Lemon Law makes the manufacturer buy the cars back, not the dealership. So the dealership doesn't really care. I mean, I hate to say this, but many of them don't care if they can't fix your vehicle because they know it's not on them. But I got news for you right now. If you bought a big appliance, a washer, a dryer, a big screen TV, or something like that from a big box store or even from one of the big chains that's been around 200 years, if one of those big items you buy has got a service contract on it and they can't fix it, they're not too happy about returning it either. A lot of times they'll send a repair person out like 7-8 times before they'll even consider that. Because they'll say, hey, look, as long as we're working on it, we're honoring the warranty. And I don't agree with that, but that's often the position they take.
What if the purchaser doesn't purchase that warranty? And my question to you is, when you buy an appliance or certain items at some of the big box stores, they're always asking you, do you want to purchase the warranty? As an attorney, I'm always thinking, wait a minute, there's a manufacturer's warranty on this item regardless if I purchase a separate warranty. Am I wrong? I don't know that area of the law. I'm just asking you.
No, you're absolutely right. I will not buy extended service contracts or warranties on big items like that ever. With a used car, I'd consider it, but not with an appliance that's brand new. It's coming with its own warranty. Because what happens is the extended service contract or warranty you're getting from the big box store won't help you during the warranty period because the warranty period covers the thing you got already. And most problems will occur within the warranty period. So the third-party warranties or the warranties they sell you at a big appliance store, 99% of that's pure profit for them. They sell you the warranty, they know you're never going to use it, and they pocket the money. It's almost all profit for them.
Hey, Steve, we got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to ask you, since we're talking about Lemon Law and service warranties and things like that, there's a new crop of business that has popped up that are warranties on used cars. Like if you've had your car and it has less than 175,000 miles on it, you can purchase this service warranty and they'll cover all the things.
Yeah.
I want to dig into that a little farther because I'm interested in that, but we got to take a break.
I also want Steve to give out his phone number, and I also want to ask Steve to walk us through a typical Lemon Law case, what happens when he's contacted, who does he sue, what court is it in, and then I want to talk about the Federal Consumer Protection Act when we come back.
It's the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Sparks. Always with a smart remark, your eyes blazing blue. When we need a confidence, we always turn to you. When they shot our leaders up against Commandum Wall, you were there beside us in that awful Easter dawn.
Welcome back to Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I'm Steve Leto.
And I'm Craig Russell, and he's Todd Levitt.
That's correct. We're talking with a consumer lawyer, a publisher, podcaster, radio, outdoor enthusiast, one of my best friends, attorney Steve Leto. We've been friends for decades, and I'm honored to have you back on the show.
And he knows Jay Leno.
Are you
friends with Jay Leno, or are you just acquaintances?
It's a long story, but I talked to Jay Leno a while back because I wrote a book about the Upper Peninsula of Michigan,
right.
An event called the Italian Hall Disaster, and a book called Death's Door. And there was an ad in a local newspaper that said that it made a great Christmas gift. And out of context, it's kind of goofy because in the book, 73 people die. So somebody sent that ad to Jay Leno, and he ran it on one of his segments about funny headlines.
Oh, okay.
And I saw him do that, and I thought, hey, that's funny. So I gift-wrapped one and sent it to him and said, hey, dude, this does make a great Christmas gift. And I mentioned to him that I'd written a book about the Chrysler Turbine Car Project, but I couldn't get it published. And he called me. And he's like, oh, my God, I love those cars. You've got to get that book published. Long story short, he wound up buying a Chrysler Turbine Car from Chrysler. He's got one now, and he invited me to California. He said, if you're ever out here, I'll let you drive it.
Oh, wow.
So I got out to California as fast as I could. He let me drive his Turbine Car. He offered to write the foreword for my book, which would help sell it, which it did. And since then, I've just stayed in touch with him. He wrote the foreword to the book on Preston Tucker. I've seen his car collection. It's unbelievable. He's got like over 100 cars, over 100 motorcycles. They all run everything, and it's like a museum. It's unbelievable. Very, very nice guy. The guy you see on TV is not an act. That is Jay Leno. Is just a heck of a nice guy.
Yeah, he's kind of got that Midwest. I don't know where he's actually from, but he's got that Midwest nice kind of to him. You kind of think of him. Where's he from? Do you know where he's from?
Well, no, he's from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. He's from Massachusetts.
All right.
But he's been in California for years doing stand-up before
sure.
he got on TV.
Sure.
Hey, Steve, if the listeners, and I'm sure they do, want to contact you regarding legal representation because they feel they have a legitimate consumer issue or a lemon law issue, how can they get a hold of attorney Steve Leto?
Best thing to do is look up my website, letoslaw.com, LEHTOSLAW.com. I've had that URL now for 25 years, if you can believe it. I mean, that's how old the internet is.
And then once again, how can the listeners of both our radio show and podcast hear your podcast?
Same thing. Go there or go, because I have the links to it off my website, or you can go to just YouTube and look for Steve Leto, and that'll pull up my channel. I've got a couple hundred videos up now and so on.
Hey, so before we went to break, I wanted to ask you about, I get things in the mail because I bought a 2012 Jeep about 6 months ago. And so I get stuff in the mail from these things wanting me to buy an extended service warranty. And I hear radio commercials. I think I've even seen like Mike Ditka pushing them on TV that basically for a flat fee a month, no matter what happens to your car, they will pay for it and cover it and you're all good. And it's supposed to give you peace of mind. Is that legit? Have you heard of these businesses? Are these legit?
Yeah, they've been doing it for a while, and that, you know, they go through slight variations over the years. But generally speaking, they've done the math on it, and they figured out roughly what's going to go wrong with an older car. And they basically charge you slightly more than that for your monthly coverage. So,
well, when do you purchase this product? You know, are you purchasing it from the used car dealer, or is it a separate?
It's a separate company.
So the
altogether.
Used car dealer then sells your information, I'm thinking, Steve, to these other third-party companies who contact you? Which really,
They buy the information from the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan sells off the registration information. But,
sure.
But generally speaking, I would not recommend you do that. If you took that same amount of money and stuck in a bank account and put it aside for a rainy day, nothing goes wrong with your car, you're ahead. If something does go wrong with your car, fix it yourself.
I got a question for you.
Most of those things don't cover very much. You got to look at the exclusions really, really closely.
So here's a question for attorney Steve Leto. I feel recently, and this has happened in the past, I'm not going to name the companies, but I've made some purchases of large items, and they'll ask for a phone number. You give them a phone number, and I'm under the belief that they, like we just talked about, they have sold my information to a third party. Is there anything that protects us consumers out there from businesses that we're doing business with that sell our information to third party that then contact us nonstop?
Well, believe it or not, that's what some of these companies are in the business of, is gathering that information and selling it. So, you know, when they ask for your phone number at Radio Shack when you buy batteries, laugh at them and say no, or give them a fake phone number. which is what I do.
Or luckily, Radio Shack's not really around much anymore, so you can't even do that.
I love Radio Shack.
It's barely Radio Shack.
I was a paper boy when I was younger, and the newspapers, when I would fill them on the weekend, there was a free there was a free flashlight coupon. I loved it. I had like 100 coupons. My customers never got their flashlights because I had them.
When was the last time you were at a Radio Shack? Have you been to Radio Shack?
Yeah, I have.
They've been out
Midland Mall.
They're almost out of business everywhere else.
Right, but they still was a great. It was one of those throwback companies that we all grew up with, right, Steve?
True.
But they were famous for asking for your zip code when you made like a 39 cent.
Right.
It's like, who cares?
Steve, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Walk us through the process if somebody has a lemon law. And again, if you missed the last couple segments, we're talking with consumer lawyer attorney Steve Lato. We're talking about lemon law. And just to refresh the show, if you go buy a used car, Steve, from a used car lot, it's as is. There's no 72 return period. That's it. You walk off. And even if you buy it from an individual, that individual does not have to take that car back.
Right.
Let me ask you this. If you buy it from a friend, they give you, there's a bill of sale. There's not all these, documents that you're signing, and then you take it home and there's something wrong with that car. Are you still purchasing it as is from a friend or family or a stranger?
Anytime you buy a vehicle from an individual, it's presumed to be as is, which means that they're selling it to you with all faults. And so, I jokingly tell people don't sell a car to a friend because, that's not going to end well. But this is one of the things you have to watch out for, because someone's going to come back and say, hey, the car broke down. Either you help me with this or I'll think you ripped me off. And like I said, that doesn't go well. But if you buy a vehicle from individuals, presumed to be as is. But if you buy a brand new car or truck in Michigan, then the lemon law covers it. So if the vehicle's in the shop four times in the first year or two, or if it's in the shop 30 days in the first year you own it, the lemon law might cover it, in which case someone like me can get the manufacturer to buy it back from you and literally put you back at square one, where they'll buy the vehicle back and get all your money back. It's not a bad deal, but you gotta do a little bit of work first.
And I was going to say, how does that happen? Let's say I buy a new car and I have to, it goes in the shop five times in a month, and I feel like this car is a lemon. Where do you go from there? I contact you. How do you handle this? Do you take
federal court, Steve?
Yeah, what court do you go through?
Yeah, well, here's the key. When you have a vehicle that's got problems, be sure to hang on to the repair orders, because the repair orders are what proves your case. So whenever someone calls my office and says, Steve, I bought a lemon, I say, send me a copy of your purchase agreement so I can see what date you bought it, who you bought it from, all that. And then I look at how many times it's been in the shop, and I look at your repair orders. And if you got a good case, I'll tell you got a good case. All of the big three, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, have got pre-litigation programs where I can often approach them and say, look, here's a case. I don't want to sue you. Can you just buy this thing back? And sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But if they won't, we'll file a lawsuit. It depends on where the person is. We might file in the county where they bought the car, or we might file it in the county where the manufacturer resides, which in Michigan is always going to be Oakland County or Wayne County. Wayne County, of course, is where Ford is, and so is GM and Chrysler is in Oakland County. But we can also file it in the county where the car was purchased as well.
Now, what about if, let's say, it's a Mitsubishi? Or a car that they don't necessarily make in the United States. Does that cause any bigger problems?
Not at all, because all of the corporations, the big corporations that do business in Michigan, have got what they call a resident agent. And a resident agent is somebody who's authorized to accept service on behalf of the corporation. So most big corporations have got a resident agent either in Wayne County or in Ingham County, which is Lansing. And so that's not a problem at all. So I've sued them all. I've sued everybody.
So what's the recourse? Explain the recourse for someone that does purchase a new vehicle. You get involved, and then the manufacturer reimburses other damages in addition to what the individual is out, not just the purchase price, but how about, loss of, work or other, are there other damages, attorney fees?
No, but here's the thing. Attorney fees and court costs, yes. So I routinely take these cases where I tell my clients, I'm not going to charge you anything. I'll get Ford, GM, or Chrysler to pay me, and they do. So, I won't charge the client anything, and the attorney fees and court costs will get recouped from the manufacturer. But you cannot get punitive damages, exemplary damages, or anything like that, because the law was designed to, like, hey, look, let's just settle this quickly and put the buyer back in the position they were before they bought the car and just make it happen quickly. There's a few states out there, like Wisconsin, actually have, like, punitive damages, and what happens then is the manufacturers have got to fight these cases, and some of them turn into like 2 or 3 year long litigation nightmares. And most consumers would rather just get the car bought back and start over again.
And this is different from, say, like if you had a faulty airbag in your car. That's a completely different avenue altogether. because that's a lawsuit, and that sometimes can be a class action suit, or you can actually sue for damages and things like that.
You're talking about something different.
Yeah,
you're
this
saying
is completely different.
If you're driving your vehicle down the road and your airbag goes off, which they have, there's
right.
been cases,
yeah.
and it severely injures or kills somebody.
That's a totally different thing
then
than this.
You're going to have an attorney such as John Marco, who's a
right.
regular on the show, sue the manufacturer. So
yeah, what you're looking at there is called product liability. And
exactly.
product liability is very, very different. I don't handle those cases. I know about them, but I don't handle them. I specialize in just the consumer stuff.
Hey, Steve, we're speaking with attorney Steve Leto, one of the top, if not the top, consumer lawyer in the United States. One of my best friends. He's an author of the Lemon Law Bible. And
Todd,
yeah.
not meaning to be rude here, but I have to point this out to listeners who
yeah.
don't know this.
Okay.
Is that I think back, when I hear the name Todd Levitt, I think back to the time when I would spend a lot of time in courts, and so did you. And I'd often walk into a courtroom some morning, and I'm going into court for whatever reason, and I'd often see a little brouhaha, a little commotion going on down near the prosecutor's office. And it'd always be this tall guy with a laugh and a booming voice holding court, talking to other attorneys, talking to the prosecutor, talking to cops. Dude, you had more people entertained in courthouses before you went into the courtroom. I'm convinced that's one of the reasons you got so much done, okay? But it's kind of funny, because I actually think back about the time, I'm like, oh my God, Todd is here. He must be here, because there's people having a good time in a courthouse, which normally does not happen.
You know, I appreciate that, Steve.
I think back fondly on those days.
I miss the times we used to bike together in South Lyon and just hang out afterwards and go eat. And Steve, I'll tell you, I was taught by my grandmother, may she rest in peace, that you catch more bees with honey and, you know, friends. You know, it's all about having friends and respecting one another. But, you know, as an attorney or as a businessman or woman out there, if you want to succeed in business, you know, respect what you do. Do your job. And remember, if you have customers, it's all about the customers. It's not about you or your ego. It's about the customers. And that's just how I operate. You catch more bees with honey. But Steve used to have a horse competition where you play basketball.
Oh, okay.
And give out a trophy every year.
Oh, wow.
And I won.
Yeah. How is that
yeah.
possible?
I won. I still have that trophy. But we have to go to – remember that, Steve?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, we have to go to break, but when we come back, can we continue talking with attorney Steve Leto, Craig Russell?
Of course we can.
Hey, when we come,
so.
And when we come back from break, can we talk like we're going to a big truck competition at one of the big state fairgrounds?
Sunday!
That's right, it's the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We're talking to attorney Steve Leto. When we come back from break, we're going to continue talking more cars right here on the Show of Shows.
I had to move away from the microphone due to the echo thing. Hey, it's Craig Russell along with Todd Levin, and we're here with attorney Steve Leto's, who is one of the top lemon lawyers in the
consumer.
Country. Consumer lawyers.
Lemon.
Also writing books and an outdoor enthusiast. We're going to talk about you paddling through the Upper Peninsula and through all around the shoreline and everything. But before we get started with all of that, how do people get a hold of you if they, say, have a problem with a car that they bought, or they want to hear your podcast, or they just want to talk to you because you sound like an interesting person? How do they get a hold of you, Steve?
Just visit my website, lehtoslaw.com, lehtoslaw.com, and I've got my phone number on there. I'm one of the rare attorneys. I answer my own phone.
Good for you.
You call and you say, hey, who is this? I go, yeah, it's Steve Leto. How you doing, man?
Good for you. You should.
Yeah, yeah.
And Steve is not just an outstanding attorney, but like you said, he answers his phones.
Yep.
He understands customer service. There's no one better than Steve Leto at understanding what individuals and families go through, because as an attorney, you know, it's just not the individual going through it, but it affects their families, their loved ones,
yep.
their kids, their work, their sleep. There's so much anxiety that goes into being involved in the legal system, which leads me to an email, Craig and Steve.
Yes, email question. This is from Keith. Keith is from Mount Pleasant. Wanted to know about judges and term limits. Do you think judges should have term limits, Steve?
I personally do. I think any elected official should have term limits. One of the biggest problems in Michigan is that when judges run for re-election, they get to put the words "the honorable" in front of their name. And a lot of people, when they get to that part of the ballot, are tired and want to get out of the booth. And they go, this person's already judged. Boom, make him judge. You know, let him be judge again. You know, and I think it'd be a good thing after a certain period of time to move on, get new judges in there.
I agree 100%.
Yep,
there should be term limits, 6 years max, and then recycle the judges. I just think judges are incumbents. It's very difficult to beat an incumbent. But, yeah, I just think any politician should be termed out.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I'm not complaining about any specific judge. I have no complaints. And what am I, an idiot? I'm going to actually complain about a judge on the air?
No.
I truly have no complaints. But I just think that politicians, their elected officials, term limits.
Well, and plus everybody gets very complacent. I think the term limit should be you have to have a certain amount of time off. And then if you want to run again, people then can make the decision. Hey, do we like the old guy or do we like the new guy?
No.
I think you should be able to do that, especially because I think most politicians would do their time and then move on to something else.
Are you saying they should be able to run again?
Yeah, after a certain amount of time. They should be able to, you know, give up, say, 10 years and then come back again. That's just what I think.
That's a clever idea. For those who are just tuning in, we talked in the first few segments regarding purchasing used vehicles, new vehicles. But again, I get calls all the time. Oh, I just purchased a used car, or I bought it from a friend. I didn't know that it had a block issue or this or that. Steve, just briefly, because I want to get to your paddle adventure, what's the law in regards to used cars?
Used cars in Michigan are often sold as is by dealerships, perfectly legal, but it means that once you buy the car, it's yours, and all the problems it comes with and all the faults are your problem also. So my number one piece of advice to anybody who's shopping for a used car ever is to have the car inspected before you buy it. And if you can't afford to have an inspection done, get on your hands and knees and look underneath it yourself to make sure that nothing's leaking. Because 9 times out of 10, something leaking out of the car is not good. And that's something even an untrained person can spot. But I've met a lot of people, they buy a used car because, it looked nice. I drove it home. Next thing I know, it's a big old puddle of something in the driveway. It could be oil. It could be transfluid. Could be antifreeze. None of those are good. And you would have avoided that had you gotten it inspected. So number one thing is get it inspected. Because otherwise, what you're bringing home is yours to deal with, and you can't go back on the dealership for that.
I wish I would have known you about 6 years ago. I bought a 2002 Buick Park Avenue from a car dealer in Grand Rapids. I won't mention the name of the dealer, but bought it for $1,400. It was a used car, drove it off the lot. Week later, thing died. Had a new starter put on it, had a bunch of stuff put on it. I ended up having to sell it to a guy for $800 who figured out that it was a problem with the air conditioning condenser that stopped the belt from running and made the car useless. But I had to learn a valuable lesson, that exactly that thing. And so I wish I would have known you then, but know you now and take that advice.
Steve,
wow.
Federal Consumer Protection Act, what is it? What does it do?
Well, there's a law called the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act that covers any consumer goods sold in America as long as they come with a warranty. So if you buy a product, whether it's a refrigerator, washer, dryer, a microwave oven, a TV set, if you buy it brand new and it comes with a warranty, the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act says that if it's defective, the manufacturer's got to either replace it or repair it at no cost to you, depending on how defective it is. But one of the problems we have in the field is that the law says that you can recover your attorney fees and court costs from the defendants if you win. I've won these cases before, and I've gone in front of a judge and said, Your Honor, I got, you know, this company to buy back this computer, for instance, for $1,000. I want $5,000 in attorney fees. And the judge goes, I'm not going to give you $5,000. What, are you crazy? And so if you're not paying my attorney fees, why am I doing this, you know? And most people can't afford to hire an attorney and pay out of their own pockets to chase these things down. So it varies from item to item and how much money is at stake, whether you're going to do this for a $300 microwave, I don't know, but for a $25,000 or $40,000 boat, maybe, you know? So The things that aren't covered by the Lemon Law, the other stuff, is all covered by the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. And I've got articles on this as well as everything else on my website.
Steve, Tell us about the amazing trip you're about to embark on.
Well, I wrote a book about a guy named Douglas Houghton, and Douglas Houghton was an explorer in the 1830s who traveled all of the shorelines of Michigan by canoe at one point or another. And I always thought to myself, well, that's pretty cool to get in a canoe at Detroit and canoe all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie and across to Duluth, for instance. And I always thought, you know, if I ever have the time, I might take some time off and buy a canoe and try that. And I talked to a few of my friends who are really into this kind of stuff, and they all said, yeah, it's absolutely doable. Now, I'm not going to paddle. I'm going to get a boat motor. I've already got it, actually, and a 17-foot canoe, and I'm going to have people accompany me on different legs of it. But I'm going to drop a canoe in the water in Lake Superior on July 1st at Duluth, and I'm going to take that canoe all the way over to the Keweenaw Peninsula, up and around the Keweenaw, Copper Harbor, all that, through Keweenaw Bay, past Marquette, past Munising, past Grand Marais, over to Sault Ste. Marie, through the locks, because you can take a motorized boat as small as a canoe through the locks, down the St. Mary's River, down to St. Ignace, Mackinac City, around Alpena, down towards the Thumb, around the Summit, all the way to Detroit. It's about 1,200 miles. I'm going to be doing that trip anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks this summer. And at the end, we're filming it, so there'll be a documentary about it, but I'm also writing a book about it. So that's my next book project.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to be meeting up with Steve. I'm going to meet him in the Upper Peninsula or the great state of Superior and paddle with him. I have a kayak,
that's
but
cool.
I'm going to paddle next to him.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
I have an idea. Yeah. I have an idea for your possibly your next two books. You've heard of the if you're a canoe person, you've heard of the canoe marathon that they do in Grayling every year, correct? The Saba River Canoe Marathon.
Yeah.
The radio
yeah.
station is a big sponsor of that. That would be an interesting because that has a lot of history. That thing they've been doing that for 50, 60 years. There's a ton of history involved in that. There's actually that's the Triple Crown of canoe racing is one of there's three big races, and that would be an interesting book. Also, being a big Michigan history buff, you have to know about the Bath School explosion from 1927.
Oh, of course, yeah, and there have been several books written about that already. One of the hard parts about writing books is finding topics that have not been written about that are still good, because most of the good topics are taken, and a lot of stuff's not been written about. It's not that interesting, but yeah, the Bath School disaster. There have been at least two books written about that. It's a horrible,
right.
horrible story.
I know,
in terms
yeah.
of what happened, but yeah, it's amazing.
You should see Todd. Todd is asking me. He has no idea what we're talking about.
No, I mean Bath, Michigan. You're talking about Bath, Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a school explosion there.
Well, I figured there was a school in Bath that exploded. I know nothing about it, though.
Yeah, it's actually at one time, if I'm not mistaken, Steve, at one time it was the largest mass explosion death in United States history. At one
well,
point.
Yeah, what happened was a disgruntled local blew the school up.
Yeah.
And some of the dynamite he set didn't go off, luckily, so it didn't kill everybody, but it killed quite a few children. And then he drove up to the school right after the explosion, and he rigged his car with dynamite, and he called some people over, and then when they came over, he blew them up also. And he killed himself, obviously, in the process. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing story. And it was, you know, basically an act of terrorism back in, I think, 1927 or something.
Yeah, 1927, yep.
Yeah, so I mean, it's an amazing, tragic story, and it's something not a lot of people have heard about, but at least two books have been written about it.
Well, maybe don't write a book, maybe make a movie about it. You ever funded a movie before?
Well, they've actually made a couple documentaries based on books I've written.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, Steve was on PBS.
No Hollywood films.
I saw a whole... I just one day turned on the TV, and there Steve was on PBS. And I think... Wasn't it about the fire up in the UP? They did a huge...
The Italian Hall disaster. Yeah, there's a documentary called Red Metal that was on PBS. And it was partly based on the book I wrote called Death's Door about the Italian Hall disaster.
Steve, any other final advice? We're going to have you back on the show next month. I mean, you're always invited back on. You have just too much information not to have you back on. But any final advice for all of the consumers out there? Because we're all consumers. And now with all this online purchasing, we don't have enough time, but it just popped in my head. I wanted to ask you about the consumer protections as it in regards to all this online purchasing that's going on. It still applies.
You have no idea. I get phone calls now from people who say, "Hey, Steve, I just bought a car. It's defective. I want to sue the guy."
Yeah.
I go, "Where'd you buy it?" And they go, "California." And I said, "What?" And they go, "Yeah, I went on to eBay or Craigslist. I found a car I liked. Talked to the guy on the phone, sent him money, and he shipped me a piece of garbage."
Oh, God.
And I'm like, who in their right mind buys a car sight unseen? And they're like, "Well, it was on eBay." I'm like, "Yeah, but it was sight unseen. You didn't see it." So you got to be twice as careful buying stuff on the internet, and obviously I'd say never buy something you're not looking at with your own eyes, but get it inspected by somebody you know. That inspection would save 99% of all the phone calls I get, would solve all these problems.
And then again, you could be purchasing something from a company that's not even located in the United States, so there's really no protection because you're buying it over the internet.
Oh, and there's all kinds of problems also. The people you're buying from might not be collectible. They might be hard to find. It's crazy what can happen on the internet.
We will have to ask you about that in another show, but we got to go, Todd.
Yeah, show's over. Steve, attorney Steve Lato, it was great having you on the show. Again, if you want to check out Steve's podcast, go to YouTube, type in Steve Lato, L-E-H-T-O, latoslaw.com. The best consumer lawyer, the best lemon lawyer, the best friend. Love you, Steve. Thank you so much for being back on the show.
Thanks.
That's it. Show's over. Hope you had a safe, happy St. Patrick's weekend.
And that's it. Wait a minute. I thought we're doing a marathon today.
No.
Come on.
The weather's too nice, man. Weather's too nice, man. We got to go.
All right. Hey, what a great show.
Yep.
Hope everybody has a happy, healthy afternoon, whatever you're doing. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Take us out, Craig Russell, with some Irish music.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, and Tim's Collision Plus.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.